everybody. Welcome again to the Comic Shoot with Derek and Tyler. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us again on this very special week. There's no apparent reason why it's special, but just like on Clone High, it's another very special episode. Hey, Derek, how the hell are you?
Oh, fantastic.
This week, ladies and gentlemen, I want to start by reminding you, of course, that the views and opinions here are Derek and mine alone. Whatever we say, do, think, or hear is for us, pretty much, and you guys are just kind of joining in. So it doesn't necessarily reflect the people that work for AllComic.com, AllComic.com in general, or anybody that has, you know, looked at the site or decided to look at the site or was thinking about looking at the site. So just keep that in mind. I want to talk about Marvel today. Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, let's talk about Marvel. The other day, I actually tweeted and posted on Facebook that I thought that Marvel was just on absolute freaking fire. So, yeah, we can talk about that.
And I 100% agree with you. But we will get to why after I talk about that fateful day way back in July of 2011. July 20th, 2011, to be exact.
I was going to say you were just a wee lad.
Just a wee little laddie. I was right about the time that I was just getting back into comic books. I apologize for all the Scottish listeners out there if I totally butchered it. That day, for those that don't know, and because I just Googled it, I know, was the release of Daredevil 1 by Mark Waid and Paulo Rivera. Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
The hit that I don't think a lot of people saw coming. I personally hadn't read zero Daredevil up to this point, and I actually started late onto this series because, again, I was just getting in, so I was still kind of in my normal zone of, well, hey, I know Spider-Man, and hey, I know Batman, and so I hadn't really ventured. But I got onto it fairly quickly, and all I gotta say is, holy fucking shit, if you didn't read this, you need to buy all the trades right now and prepare yourself for the upcoming relaunch, I guess, if that's what you want to call it. But Derek, where were you on July 20th, 2012?
I was at the comic shop buying this.
You were there from day one, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm a pretty big Daredevil guy. I in the 90s, I picked it up sparingly, but Bendis is what really made me fall in love with the character. So
I've been meaning to go back and do the Bendis stuff. I'm two large trades through with the Brubaker Daredevil, which is
okay.
Fan-fucking-tastic. I understand Bendis came before.
Yes.
I didn't know who Bendis was when I was reading Brubaker's Daredevil. I was kind of on a big Brubaker kick anyways, so I know what happens after Bendis, but I don't know how he gets there necessarily, so I will eventually go back and read all that stuff for sure, but I would say that Mark Waid is the reason why I like Daredevil at all right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Everybody else that's been a great writer that I've read so far that has worked on him is simply just, you know, frosting on an already delicious cake. And I can't eat cake or frosting because I'm lactose intolerant, so that's how delicious it is. It's so delicious I can't even eat it. And that doesn't even make sense. I have gone back and I have read Daredevil Reborn because I heard that was something that was a must. Though for whatever reason, I can't remember who writes it. It's completely escaped me. So sorry, everybody else, but I'm not, like I said, I wasn't a huge Daredevil fan, so it's still new to me. But that's the only thing outside of Brubaker and Wade that I've read. So I'm still new to my Daredevil, so go gently and easy on me, Derek.
Okay.
are you trying to find the writer of Reborn?
Yeah, you have me curious. I cannot remember who the hell wrote that. Diggle. Okay.
Oh, was Andy Diggle?
Yeah. I actually didn't read this one.
Oh, now you should check it out. If you like Daredevil, it's pretty cool.
I do. I might.
I mean, it's along the same lines as like all the other kind of Reborn stuff, only this is traveling and there's ninjas. And it was good. It was worth a read. I think I managed to find a hardcover, so that always made me happy. So nice. Anyway, Mark Waid, Daredevil.
Yes.
I will admit that issue number 10... the cover for that, which I believe was by, it could have been Marcus Martin, if I remember right, my memory is not fantastic. But anyway, it had the view from like Daredevil's sonar, and it had, I always want to say Mole Man, but I don't think that, I feel that doesn't feel right to me. Is that Mole Man? The guy with the wicked glasses and leads all the.
Yeah, that's Mole Man.
It is Mole Man. Yeah, okay, yeah, so yeah, I always think The Simpsons, so that really screws me up.
Yeah, I couldn't. I just had to look up that issue cover because I couldn't remember what was on the cover.
That cover just stands out, and I guess it was Paulo Rivera that did the pencils for it.
Okay, so. But yes, that is without a doubt Mole Man.
Oh yeah, and that's that cover though. It's awesome. Daredevil red, and everything else has got the little lines, like the way he sees it, and his little sonar view or whatever. And man, I just love that cover so much.
Oh yeah, actually, yeah. Looking at it now, yeah, that's actually a fantastic cover.
Oh yeah, that's a legendary cover that needs to be blown up. Like that's amazing. The one thing about this I find is I really enjoyed Paulo Rivera's work. You know, it was good. It did the trick. But I feel that when Chris Samnee took over, the series just like jumped to a whole nother level. The series became something else. Like, and I believe Samnee was on like issue 16. And then he's become like, it's become the Mark Waid, Chris Samnee Daredevil since. And I don't know how you feel about Paulo Rivera's art, but I mean, it's just Samnee blows everything out of the water. It looks like Samnee did issue 12.
Yeah.
But then officially came on, I think for the most part, after like, well, no. Let's see, 16 he did one, and then 23, 24. Okay, so 23 he became the regular, I guess we'll go with.
Okay.
So. I don't know why it's given credit to Jock. I don't remember Jock doing an issue of this stuff. Apparently, I got to go back and read my Daredevil because I don't remember Jock.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go back and look at these issues because I can't remember what he would have, which one he would have done.
Well, apparently, Jock did 20 and 27. Says the Marvel site, and I don't remember it. And I feel like Jock's art is the kind that I would remember.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Wait, of this run?
Of this run. It says November 21st.
Yeah.
Mark Waid, Jock does the pencils, and Paulo Rivera did the cover. Blind Man Bluffed continues, Daredevil's newest threat, the Coyote. Is not what he expects. Say goodbye to NYC Matt Murdock. That's the little...
Okay.
So I don't remember that, but I'm going to have to go back and read it. I got the two oversized hardcovers, and obviously I'll get the third, and I'm just stoked for it. So I'm even as we speak, I'm ready to reread everything again, getting ready for next week, I guess, the new one comes out, right?
I think it's
the 19th.
Okay. Okay.
Because that's when the Road Warrior ends, I believe.
Yeah, I thought it was coming out, but then I was looking at it wrong. I guess the poster or something comes out this week, and
I definitely know it's next week because there's still two issues of Road Warrior to go.
Yeah,
but we're gonna hit ourselves there. I you didn't really ask me. Do you feel Chris Samnee's become like the Daredevil artist, or how do you? He's the Red Batman guy after all.
Yes, yeah, that he is. Actually, yeah, he's kind of almost more than Waid, like has kind of, you know, slapped his stink on it. So I would agree. I like what's his nuts, Rivera. I do like his work, although he's mostly known for his covers.
Yeah, he is kind of a cover guy, and I mean that kind of shows in his frequency or lack thereof, as far as how often he did an issue.
Yeah, it seems like he'll only do maybe like he might like start something off, do like three issues or just do like a one shot here and there. But he's not like, but other than that, he's a cover guy.
Yeah, it looks like Marcos Martin, who did the cover of number one, did a few issues as well. So until Samnee, they were kind of all over the place with artists. I also, yeah. Along with Samnee, hand in hand, colorists and sometimes artists. I want to. How do you say the J? I'm not good with Spanish names, but Rodriguez.
Okay.
Javier.
Javier.
There you go. Okay. See, I'm not. There's no Spanish really up in Canada, so if it was a French name, I might be able to say it a little bit better. But so, apologies to all the fine Spanish folk out there.
No habla español.
Pretty much, except for like baños and piña. Because I went to Mexico and apparently all I picked up was bathroom and pineapple. Don't ask me why. I guess those are important. So yeah, he also has done a really good job. Javier. Is that how I'm saying it? I'm gonna call him Mr. Rodriguez from now on.
Okay. A or air, whatever.
Yeah, fuck it. But he's done that. But I do agree with your little statement there that Chris Samnee, almost more so than Wade, has become like Daredevil guy. Like he's just great. I mean, I love that cover with the kid on 28 where he's like, it says, "I beat Daredevil," and like he's just, and his look is great.
Yeah.
Samnee's issue that he did with the Silver Surfer stands out in my mind as being fantastic. It's just great.
This might be, I don't know, this might sound weird, but like whenever I open up an issue of Daredevil and I see his art, it just feels comfortable. Like I'm like, I don't know, like I'm right at home, you know?
The comfiest pair of like Avengers pants you could ever put on. I'm wearing Avengers pants, by the way, so that's why that's my analogy. But
okay, I'm wearing Ninja Turtle ones at the moment.
You would be.
I would be.
but I agree. You open it and it's just, you're comfortable. His Nelson, his Foggy Nelson is great. I loved his character design for Kalari. What the hell was that bad guy's name that he did?
The
Bizarro Daredevil where he was like, yellow.
I was just going to say like the Super Daredevil guy. Yeah. I can't remember his name, but yeah. Yeah, he was a really cool visual.
He was, like, you know. Yeah. And there you go. There's another good example of, hey, we remember him. We remember what he looks like. We remember that it was great. But we can't remember his name.
Speaking of that, I actually really liked what they did with Bullseye. It wasn't like a traditional, because, you know, everybody who gets on Daredevil, it's like the Fantastic Four thing. Like, everybody wants to do their, like, signature Bullseye, you know, story, just like everybody wants to do their signature Doctor Doom story. But you know, here they did something completely different, and like you didn't even really see Bullseye.
Yeah, he was in like the Iron Maiden or whatever, right?
Yes.
For lack of a better term, I think he was in, it was called something else, but
Iron, and what, like that Iron Lung, is that what they call it?
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Yeah, I'm thinking of the Iron Maiden torture trap with the spikes and they kill you in it. I suppose. Yes. I suppose he would be in the lung as opposed to the death trap. that makes much more sense. That was really cool. Yeah, you just kind of saw his eyes through the slit.
Yeah. I thought that was a really cool spin, and I think it's one of the cooler appearances of Bullseye that has happened in a long time.
Next to like End of Days.
Well, that was pretty damn
good. That was bananas.
that was crazy town banana pants.
Oh yeah,
really good stuff.
So we've been praising Samnee a lot. I do want to say that everybody who's anybody that reads comics now, and I can say this because I know it now, really should know Mark Waid. He's like a premier writer. I mean, anything you see his name on, really, it's worth picking up. I don't think I've ever read anything from him, like old stuff, newer stuff, whatever, that I didn't enjoy. To at least some extent. I mean, maybe I didn't like the characters. Or they were new to me or whatever, but like his writing is just, it's easy to get into. It's you know, it's not overly complicated, doesn't overwrite stuff. He's just legendary. Kingdom Come is one of my favorite
stories
in the entire world. Even if Alex Ross didn't do the art, I just really love the story too, you know?
Flash.
I bought pretty much his entire run in singles of Flash.
His Flash stuff is...
They don't have an omnibus of it.
Yeah, he will. What he did with Wally West and kind of made him like a legacy character.
Yeah,
I just love that.
Yeah, I think I got up to, I read up to issue 90. I have the first one that he started signed on the wall, first issue, and then I read up to like 90, and then I couldn't find like 90 to like 100, but then I have like 100 to 130, so I'm missing a bunch in between. So I kind of stopped reading. They're just kind of sitting here for now. I got to finish the in between runs, and maybe I can pick them up in Comixology to get through them. But I bought. I don't like necessarily buying old comics as far as just space goes. Like I like old comics, and I like, you know,
yeah,
I do like owning them, but just space wise, I'd rather buy like a trade or a big omnibus. Like when I eventually get to Geoff Johns' Flash, I'm gonna buy the omnibuses. Or the Omnibuy or whatever, and do it that way. But no, Mark Waid, what I've read so far, and again, Barry Allen's my guy, so Wally hasn't won me over yet, but Mark Waid sure is, you know, doing a number on me.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you can't, even if you don't like Wally West that much, you still can't deny how awesome that run is.
Yeah, so far so good. Like I haven't read in a while because I've been missing those things. So I read fairly far into it, so we'll see. But yeah, anyway, you know, Mark Waid is, I dare say, one of the best writers in the business right now, and probably has been for, you know, 20 years. And personally, he's definitely one of my favorites. So, I mean, you put somebody like that with somebody like Chris Samnee, who made the character his, really, and just took it to another level, you can't go wrong with the series. I recently put Spencer on it. I had the three smaller hardcovers of Daredevil, and yeah. I wanted to upsize, and my shop wouldn't take them back, so I sold them to Spencer. And I'm like, you have to do it, you have to do it, you have to do it. You're an idiot if you don't. And he's like, fine, fine, fine. So I sold them to him for like 40, 50 bucks, something like that. And so a good deal for him. And I guess he went home and like pretty much read them all right away, and then went on Comixology and bought all the single issues to catch up.
Nice.
Yeah, he's like, this is fucking amazing. Oh my God. It's like, I know. You don't got to tell me. I'm the one that told you. Like,
yeah.
So it's just a great series. Anybody, and he's not even that into comics yet. Like, he's still newer into it. So if somebody who, and I don't think he had any Daredevil experience prior, coming to think of it, but if somebody that new can jump into it like that, you know, anybody can get into the series. And I think there's five small hardcovers out and two large ones, larger format. So, I mean, just pick them up. That's the bottom line, eh, Derek?
Oh, yeah.
Have you been reading Road Warrior?
Actually, I have not. It's actually going to be collected in May, so I'm waiting for the physical.
You got to buy yourself a tablet or something, dude.
I know. I do.
It's good. It's good because you're missing the way they do it, and the way the actual Infinity changes the way you read the digital comic.
Yeah,
I reviewed the first two, and I don't know if you read them or not.
I bought the only Infinity comics that I've bought so far was I got the AVX Nova stuff.
Oh yeah, because that came like free or something with the book or something, didn't it?
Not that I know of. I paid for it at least.
I thought I remember getting number one and there was a free Nova thing in it or something.
Oh, it might have been the first. I don't know. I might not be remembering correctly. It may be for the first issue.
Yeah. I've read Silver Surfer, Infinity, which was actually pretty cool. And it was just two issues, and it had to do with, I think it was during the actual Infinity event. And it was just like some side pocket thing.
Yeah.
You know, way off the beaten path.
Oh, there was a Guardians one too, but I didn't read that in Infinity form. They collected it in like a one shot, and I read them that way.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're missing out, man. It's really cool. It's just cool how, I mean, you've read regular digital comics, right?
Oh yeah.
So you know, you're just going panel to panel, right?
Yeah.
Well, this it'll show, for example, and I explained it in I think the first review. It showed this like big Minotaur guy.
Okay.
But it was through Daredevil's perspective, so the little sonar lines or whatever. So then you flip the page, and then there'll be a speech or a narrative bubble pops up, right? And then you flip the page again, and the sonar kind of fades a little bit, and then the speech bubble is moved to like lower to the middle of the page. And then as you flip the page, the speech bubble slowly goes to the bottom right corner from the top left, and eventually it comes to like the regular view of the Minotaur guy. Right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's just little cool things like that make it really cool. Or on the second issue, Daredevil's trying to figure out how to get away from these guys on bikes. And he's kind of floating. He's on top of a cop car, like holding on. So he's like looking around. It shows the regular view as he's looking around. And it shows his train. And then you turn the page. And there's this like little circle that shows his sonar vision. And he sees this train. He's like, oh, we got to go there. And he, you know, reaches in and turns the cop car's wheels. And they head toward this train. But just cool little stuff like that might not work, you know, quite as well just on a regular comic.
Yeah.
So it's really, really cool. I quite enjoy it, actually. So I think, like the Iron Man stuff I didn't go to because I didn't really care. And Wolverine in Japan, I didn't really care. So, you know, I skipped all that stuff, but Daredevil's been really cool. So I the bottom line is go buy a tablet or read it on your phone or something and check it out, man.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds really neat.
It is. It just keeps getting better. Every time I see one, like this stuff, they did cooler stuff here than they did in like the Silver Surfer one where it was still fairly new. So yeah, it's really interesting. And for those that don't know, I'm going to spoil Daredevil Volume 1 for you and in a sense and say that he has to leave New York. and he's headed to San Francisco. I guess I won't tell you why, because I don't want to spoil it that much for you. And basically, this Road Warrior is Daredevil going from New York to San Francisco. It's only 4 issues. It's all digital. Like Derek says, it'll be collected in May or something. And it just tells the story of how he's going to get to San Francisco. And it's just a little breather in between the regular series that Wade and Samony did that ended with 36 and the new one that they're starting at number one next week. So on the 19th. So if you guys are interested, pick it up. I bet you could probably pick up these Road Warrior issues and jump right into the new series if you wanted to. So it's just really, really cool. But Derek, how excited are you for the new number one?
It's weird. I'm actually not like super pumped. I'm just kind of like, oh, good. Like it's back. I'm just, it's like an old friend, like, oh, all right, cool. So I'm not like, you know, I'm not like, oh my God. I'm just kind of like, all right, you know, it's good to, you know, I can't wait to read some more Daredevil.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's the same. I mean, it's the same creative team. So I know what I'm getting into.
That's true. I had a bit of an epiphany when I was thinking about what we're talking about today. Kind of going over it in my head.
Okay.
The way that Marvel has set up this, their now stuff, we'll call it, because there's obviously all new, and then there was regular Marvel Now or whatever. They really open themselves up, leave themselves open rather, for stuff like new number ones. If this isn't working, we're gonna start it again. And I mean, the season thing seems to work. Everybody loves a number one. Whereas a good old buddies over at DC are not really open for that because of the New 52. They've kind of boxed themselves into a corner.
Yeah.
Where they can't really go, okay, well, Aquaman is done. We're going to start at number one now. Because they want to keep everything with that same kind of number like from the originals, right? Where they're all 29 or they're all whatever they are, almost 30, I guess.
Well, they're 29 right now.
Yeah, so next month it's 30. So, but they've really boxed themselves into that corner. I mean, I suppose they can do whatever they want because they're fucking DC. And if they want to say, hey, we're doing all number ones again, or these three issues are going number one or whatever, they can do that if they really want to.
Yeah. But, I think that they're boxing themselves into a corner, like you said. And I think eventually they're going to have to do something to kind of change that. My guess would be some sort of not another full blown reboot again, but like a soft kind of reboot, I guess.
Something that will allow them to do season numbering.
Yeah, like an infinite an infinite crisis type like soft reboot-y thing.
Man, if they reboot again, I might lose my mind. Like,
no, they're not. Well, they'll reboot again, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. I mean, it's probably going to it'll probably happen like 20 years from now or something.
Well, no, but even a soft, I mean, like,
yeah,
it's just you guys should have thought it out more ahead of time.
Yeah.
Then, okay, I want to talk about something stupid that I read recently.
Okay.
We're on DC and we all love kind of ragging on them.
Okay.
I don't personally have a huge connection to Booster Gold.
Okay.
But I know who he is, and I read him in the New 52 Justice League International.
Yeah.
And so I kind of know. I have a little bit of a sense of the character, which is enough. I was surfing the old Reddits, and somebody had said that there was a Booster Gold series that was pitched, and DC turned it down. And as I'm talking, I'm trying to open this up just so I can read it back to you. But the pitch was like one of those pitches where I was like, man, I would so fucking read that. Like, what the hell, DC? You give us Katana and all that other crap, and you couldn't give us this wicked Booster Gold series? I'm trying to... The writer of the series, I guess, was Brian Keene, who I actually don't know really who it is. But he was invited to pitch a Booster Gold series. And the first line is Quantum Leap meets Doctor Who.
Okay.
Of his pitch. So right there, you're like, oh, that sounds sweet. So just the quick rundown is, I guess, Booster and Skeets are kind of like going through time. Like, they start off in the Cretaceous period, and then something crazy happens, and he like loses control of what he's doing. And they end up in like in Vinland, like in the Viking era. And he gets captured by a Viking prince. And then his mind is like slowly deteriorating, so he's forgetting how to use his suit and stuff. But his suit just keeps clicking, and he like gets booted to another era of time and stuff. Apparently, at one point, he runs into Commandy or whatever from Jack Kirby's last boy in the world or whatever the hell.
Okay.
You remember? Am I saying his name right? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Wait, who? What's the name?
Commandy.
Command. Oh.
That's a Jack Kirby kid, is it not?
The
little blonde kid.
Okay.
And
okay.
They were trying to get him to write a story that was like Planet of the Apes, but he'd never seen Planet of the Apes before, and he just made up this kid. Okay. Well, yeah. I thought you'd have a bigger attachment to that. I just thought it was cool that they were doing that. But anyway.
No. I vaguely know, like, but yeah, as far as that, yeah, I'm not.
Okay. Well, anyway, so he ends up seeing this kid, and then he like there's something to do with World War II and Sergeant Rock and the Easy Company.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Yeah, there we go.
Right, and I guess there's, like, a Red Lantern in there at one point, and then he ends up going to, like, Justice League 3000 era and Lady Johanna Constantine and, you know, Demon Knights, and, like, he's all over the place. And this is just the first six-issue pitch.
Okay.
Like, it sounds so fucking cool.
You know what it kind of it almost kind of sounds like Hawkeye through time, or at least that's the way I'm imagining it.
Well, somebody made a point. They said, well, maybe DC doesn't want to do it because it kind of sounds like that when Bruce Wayne was going through time.
Oh, yeah. Well,
with Grant Morrison, right?
Yeah, the return of Bruce Wayne.
That's what it is. See, I was going to say that, but I was like, that doesn't sound right to me. So maybe that's it. But, I mean, whatever the reason, I don't know. It sounded really, really cool. So he's got the problem here. It says Booster Gold doesn't really fit in the New 52. And it's like Booster is a time traveler. So he proposes that, you know, since people don't really know Booster Gold, they figure out his history together. And he goes, so that's the problem. And the fix is basically that every time he jumps from one period to another, he loses a little bit of his memory. And then it's like, when does he completely become, like, completely have amnesia and forget, like, everything, how to use the suit, who he is, all this stuff. And I don't know. Again, I don't have a big connection to Booster Gold, and I just kind of half know him, but that sounded like a wicked, wicked series to me. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, and I'm going to send you the link over the old Skypes here, but...
Yeah, Jeff, do you... you might not remember. Did you read any of Jeff John's... Booster Gold solo series. Did you read any of that stuff?
No, I haven't gotten there.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That was actually pretty cool. And they did a lot of really cool stuff with him during the whole, like, Infinite Crisis thing. And during the, what was it, that 52, the weekly series that they did a few years back. There was a lot of really neat Booster Gold stuff done. So I don't understand. Like, they were willing to take a chance on him then. So I'm curious as to why they're so reluctant to do that now.
Well, I didn't finish Justice League International, but apparently he was in that, and then when it ended, he just, like, disappeared through time, and, like, that was it.
Yeah, he hasn't been around. I don't even know what the hell he's doing in the New 52 right now.
Yeah, he was just, and that series, I think, only lasted, like, 16 issues maximum, and maybe, like, 12, and, yeah, he just phased out of time, like, oh, this book is gonna end. Okay, everybody, see you later. Oh, where's Booster? And he was just gone. Like, I don't know. I don't know how it actually happened, but yeah, it's just weird. So it really feels that they have no idea what to do with a time traveler from, you know, the future. I mean, I'm surprised he hasn't shown up in Justice League 3000, but I guess they have enough problems on that side.
Well, it's it's not the
best. Are you still reading that?
Yeah, actually the last issue was actually pretty darn good.
So it just enough to rope you back in, you big sucker.
Basically. Yeah. It got really interesting. So I'm curious to see where it goes, and they killed off the Flash already.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I don't know. Well, I mean, they're already talking about, making another, because they're clones. So they're already talking about making another one. So my guess would be that, you know, it sounds like they might just kill people off and then just bring them back again, you know, because they have a story out, I guess.
Oh, that they're all just clones from the originals?
Yes, yeah.
Well, I don't know about you, but the look and design of the Justice League 3000 Flash was just garbage. Almost as bad as that fucking Lobo they're trying to pass off.
I disagree with that, because I thought the Green Lantern from Justice League 3000, I think he looks pretty badass. Thought like he has like that big cloak.
I'm not talking about Green Lantern, dude. I'm talking about Flash.
Okay. Never. Okay, you were talking about that. Oh, Flash specifically. Okay.
Yeah. No. I'm not. I don't. The rest of them, I didn't have a big issue with, but just the look of the Flash.
Okay.
Looked really crappy to me.
Okay. Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah. He didn't look all that great.
Yeah.
I agree.
Thanks for catching up there, Derek. Don't breathe into the mic, you bastard.
Okay.
Everybody that's going to listen to this is going to be like, damn it, he did it again. Stop eating your fucking mic, Derek.
Sorry.
Mics are not for eating. People, okay, people it. Or the phone.
I got it.
All right. So, anyway, Daredevil. And we went on a little DC tangent, as we always do, because DC is so easy to go on a tangent with.
Yeah, they just make it easy.
We're going to bring stuff full circle here at about the half an hour away point where Derek had said he Facebooked about Marvel. How did you word it? Kicking ass or?
Well, yeah, I just said that they were on absolute fire. And what made me think of that was this past week's Magneto and Moon Knight.
Yes. Fuck yes. Those two alone. And maybe snuggle those two up to the Punisher and Black Widow.
Yeah.
And those four titles,
yeah,
excluding anything else, kicks the shit out of 90% of like DC. Maybe not 90. I'll give them 75.
Yeah. I'd actually agree with that. Yeah.
They're so, and I mean, this is not going to include the new Daredevil that's coming up. This doesn't include, you know, like Hickman's Avenger and New Avengers. Although admittedly, they haven't really kept my interest. I actually dropped Avengers World last or 2 weeks ago. More for money than anything, but I don't know, it wasn't doing it for me.
Really? You didn't like that Shang-Chi issue?
I have no idea who that guy is, man. It doesn't mean anything to me. They might as well have just put a stick man. It would have been done the same.
It's a Luke Cage type situation where he was just kind of in the 70s, blaxploitation characters and kung fu guys were like the big thing in comics.
Yeah.
And that's sort of like, yeah. That's sort of where they dug him out of, and so I think he's cool in that sense, I guess.
I mean, yeah, it was a badass issue, whatever, but it wasn't enough for me to go, do I really want to pay $3.99 for this every month?
Yeah, okay, yeah, I see your point.
Unlike you, I'm trying to cut back, dude.
No, I'm trying to cut back too.
I for a while there, I was at 39. Can you believe it? 39. Yeah. And then Starlight was pretty good, so I fucking picked up Starlight.
Yeah, I picked it up too. I haven't read it yet, though, but...
Fuck. God damn it. So, anyway, the Punisher, yeah, and Black Widow and Moon Knight and Magneto are all fantastic titles.
I thought Robinson's Fantastic Four, that first issue, I thought that was pretty awesome.
I'm not sold yet. I don't know. I like it well enough. I was soured because of Fraction and how he just seemed to like trail off and like he didn't care anymore. So I'm worried that like, what if it happens again? Like I'm gun shy now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it. I added it. So I mean, that says something. And I will definitely check out the next one. And I mean, I like James Robinson. I like Starman. I enjoyed most of his Earth 2 stuff. Like, I liked the stuff when he was introducing Alan Scott. And he kind of lost me shortly after the Grundy stuff. But I enjoyed it well enough at the beginning. So, yeah, I don't know. I like him. So I got some trust in him, and I'll continue on. But I still think those four titles that we mentioned are kind of like the highlights right now. I mean, I don't know a lot about a Moon Knight. I read the first trade of Bendis's Moon Knight, and it was crazy and weird and awesome.
Yes.
So I thankfully read that before. So when they're talking about him being like a movie guy, I'm like, oh yeah, hey, I just read that. I know what you're talking about. So that was kind of a good idea, I think, on my part to read something Moon Knight before the new one came out.
Oh yeah, yeah. Bendis's Moon Knight was pretty awesome. I enjoyed that.
I got the one more trade to pick up, and
Yeah, so. Yeah, this Moon Knight right now, one issue in, and it's like one of my favorites.
Well, I mean, it's okay. Three words: Warren fucking Ellis. First of
well,
all,
yeah, yeah.
Say it with me now, Derek.
Yeah,
Warren fucking Ellis.
Ellis.
I'm,
oh,
trying,
yeah.
I'm just trying to get him to swear, folks. You guys know that by now. and then you add in Declan Shelby and Jordan, Jesus Christ, and Jordy Belair, and it's just amazing. I mean, those two alone, you could have no writer and just, here, guys, just draw something. It'll be amazing, and it will be amazing. I just love his art, and I think...
Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, no. God, I adored that art. That was really fucking awesome.
Oh, it's great, and Declan really, really, really sold me when he did his Venom arc. That was when I was like, dude, this guy's like one of my favorite. And
yeah.
The with Toxin and Venom. And I fucking love that arc, man. And then I jumped on to Deadpool just because he was doing an arc. And then jumped back off.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just, he's just great. His art's fantastic. And it works great. I love that Moon Knight is literally just like the white and black. Like he looks like. I think Declan was joking on Twitter when they were showing pages for the first time. He's like, no, Jordy didn't forget to color Moon Knight. That's what he looks like. You know, so, you know, just funny stuff like that. But
Can I talk about a possible crappy one for a second? A crappy Marvel Now book?
excuse me? It's all new Marvel Now, Derek?
Okay. Oh, well, sorry. All new Marvel Now.
And also crappy. Let's hear this one.
Okay. The rewound or the renumbered Wolverine and the X-Men by Jason Latour.
First of all, your mic is just going bananas. But second of all, I read your review, and yeah, 2 stars for the first one.
Yes. Yeah, 2 stars. Yeah, it just did not grab me at all. It was boring, and like he had the characters. Like he had their personalities down, but he just didn't do anything interesting with them. And I'm just like, man, I just don't care about this book. And I already buy 50 million other X books. So you're really not giving me a reason to continue with this.
Let's put it this way. And I didn't read it because I currently get no X books because.
Really?
I just made a choice and cut all of them. I don't like Jean Grey, as we talked about. So I got rid of all new X-Men, which meant Guardians went. And then I got rid of Uncanny because I hate Scott. I don't like Cyclops. And I held on to that book for a long time. I just had enough. And then I dropped Amazing because I don't have a huge, strong attachment to Nightcrawler.
Okay.
And again, it's more so about money than not enjoying. Like, I enjoyed Amazing enough. But
yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, I fucking love this book, like I am with like Moon Knight and Punisher and stuff like that. So it was more making room. And I mean, I never really have had a strong connection to the X-Men in general, aside from the 90s cartoon. That cartoon love hasn't translated to a book for me yet.
Okay.
So, you know, that's one of the... I'm surprised I had as many X-Books as I did at one point, quite frankly. So, but anyway... Jason Aaron, and I read a good chunk of his Wolverine of the X-Men. I dare say most of it. It was up and down at some points. I mean, as any, you know, 40-issue run would be.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be perfect, and he had to do crossovers, you know, AVX, for example.
Yeah.
That fucking travesty. So...
Yeah, it kind of dragged, those crossovers kind of dragged the book down a smidge, but he was really good at putting out, like, it would be, like, 3 issues of kind of like, meh, all right, but then, like, that one issue would suddenly, he would, like, it was just phenomenal, and you were like, oh, yeah, this is why I love this book.
And see, to me personally,
okay,
when Jason Aaron said, "Okay, guys, my run is done, I'm going to go focus on my creator-owned and Amazing and Thor," that Marvel should have been like, sweet, that's it, no more. They did not and should not have started at number one because Jason Aaron left such an impression. First of all, they're making it an omnibus immediately. It's coming out like this year. That's how quick it's coming out. And that doesn't happen, man. Even Remender's Uncanny X-Force I thought was fast, and that was still like, what, a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah.
Maybe not 2 years. 2 years might be too long.
I can't believe. Yeah, that's crazy. They usually don't put out giant omnibuses like that so fast. But I know people. I've actually talked to people who haven't read any of it, and they really want to. So,
that's the perfect way. I mean, there's like 15 fucking trades or something. Like, it's crazy because some of the trades only have 4 issues, and like, there's a lot of trades. Maybe 15 is too much, like 10 maybe, but still. So either Marvel's getting smarter about their omnibus and or being just smarter than DC and not waiting 16 months to release a fucking trade. Or they know that this is a good series that people need to buy. That being said, everybody's in love with this series. Everybody, you know, for the most part, everybody knows how it is. Everybody knows the characters. Yeah. You know, they're in love with Jason. So
yeah,
they're rebooting it, number one, because they think they can bank money on the success of the last one. Jason Latour, I'm sorry, is no Jason Aaron.
No.
I know they're working together on Southern Bastards, I'm pretty sure. But
yes.
They're not the same dude. Obviously, so it's not going to have that same charm. I mean, if he, you know, by the 5th issue, if it's like crazy balls amazing, then I'll eat my words and I'll go out and buy those 5 issues and love it like everybody else, maybe. But anybody I talk to about the first one, it's always like, well, it was okay, I guess, but it wasn't the same. There was no charm. It wasn't Jason Aaron's work. And it was either, you know, too soon or they just shouldn't have done it at all.
Yeah, that charm is gone from it now. And that was like the big appeal of Wolverine and the X-Men to begin with, because even the lesser issues, it still had that charm going for it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, even when they were just like in the Savage Land and it was like, there was like 5 issues and they're just like running around and it seemed fairly pointless.
Yeah. Even when there was, you know, just even when the general plot made you go meh, like there was still that charm there that made you smile.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just think too soon on Marvel's part. If they absolutely had to, you know, maybe release it the same week the omnibus comes out, or I don't know. It just too soon. The taste of Jason Aaron's amazing run, as disgusting as that analogy is. It's just too fresh.
Yeah,
creepy bastard.
Latour, in his defense, he has done a few things that I have enjoyed here and there.
Yeah, I've read some of his stuff, and he normally does art most of the time, though, doesn't he? Is he mostly an artist, or am I thinking of another?
I don't remember him.
He's doing art on Southern Bastards, I thought. So
No. He has. Okay. Yeah. No, he has done artist work. Yeah. You're right.
That's how I knew him prior to seeing him taking on series like this. So maybe I'm crazy, but I don't know. I just, I'm not all for the X right now. Aside from Mr. Magneto, I've loved that character pretty much from the very first thing that I read him in, and I don't even remember what that was, to be honest with you. It would have been a long time ago. I think I loved him in the X-Men show, but the comic, I'm trying to think of what it was. It was when I came back. Was it Magneto Not a Hero, that little miniseries? And I was like, oh, that's pretty sweet. And then, you know, I kind of kept up with him on, you know, like the Bendis' stuff and here and there. So whatever it was. Oh, I really, really liked his portrayal in First Class. I thought Fassbender did a fucking amazing job as him.
And yeah,
that really hooked me.
I agree. I completely agree. Now, it's my only complaint. Now the book Magneto was that book was freaking awesome. Bond did a fantastic job with that. It's just Magneto's character kind of throws me off, because for so long, his character had kind of like changed into, you know, more or
Scott
less like
Summers' pet.
What's that?
Scott Summers' pet.
Basically, yeah. It just kind of happened so quickly. There was like this issue of Uncanny X-Men
where he goes to that island or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He goes to that island, and then towards the end, he kind of goes a little crazy, and then they just end it, and they're just like, hey, read Magneto if you want to know what's happening.
I mean, you kind of get the feeling that it was a long time coming.
Yeah, I guess you could make an argument for
that. I mean, like, even since AVX, he's been he was beside Scott, and he did what Scott wanted for the most part, but it was almost with, like, reluctancy and, like, you know, I could do it better and that kind of stuff. And yeah. And then you see that panel where he, quote-unquote, returned the guy's fillings to his mouth.
Yeah.
And you're just like, holy fuck. So, but my question is, how are his powers right now? Because I thought he was, like, only able to, like, throw nails at one point. And then there's that one cool scene where, like, the metal's forming his helmet and, like, Gabriel Walta, like, just killed that scene, I thought. Where his helmet's forming and he's, like, coming after the guy in the jail cell.
Yeah.
Like that. So, did his powers get better when Cullen took him over? Or are we just kind of... They're still not where they were, I assume.
Yeah.
But he seems stronger than he did in what I remember from Uncanny.
Yeah. Now, the other guy... Yeah, the other guys, you know, their powers are still on the fritz. And I think Emma Frost, like, she can't even read people's minds at the moment.
Yeah, something... like that.
Yeah.
I hate that character. Such a throwaway character for me. I don't pay that much attention to it, but, well, yeah, I mean, obviously we know that Summers is still jacked up.
Yes.
Old man Summers, I guess we should say, cause now there's two of them.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. I remember the one scene they're fighting, I think it was like in Australia or something. And they're like, and Magneto's like getting all ready to like fight these army guys or something. And Emma Frost is like, oh, you can't do anything. Like, you're just an old man. Your powers suck. And he's like, well, I got these nails. And he, like, throws the nails in the air and then uses his Magneto powers to, like, I don't know, nail all these guys or something. Like, that just sounded horrible, Magneto nailing guys. I don't know. It just, that's the first thing that I noticed was, like, towards the end there, I guess. Or one of the things that I noticed was he's stronger now all of a sudden. And I just wondered if it was one of those Marvel things where Cullen's like, he needs more powers. And he's like, just do it. We won't explain it and they'll just accept it.
It could, yeah. I mean, I haven't read anything, so that would, you know, imply that he's gotten more powerful. So I'm guessing that either they're going to explain it or they're just going with this and hoping that you accept it. So, I mean, it's written so well, I can accept it. I can just be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm at the same point where it's like, yeah, okay, I'll just go with it, and
yeah,
I guess it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, with Marvel and DC, you'll get that.
Pretty much. I liked that they got rid of that fucking white suit. I'm sure there's some sort of symbolism to him now having that black with the silver. I still kind of miss the cool, like, purpley blue one, though, but that's just classic.
I was never a fan of his white suit. I don't know. That's just not Magneto.
The first time I saw it, I was like, oh, that's pretty sweet. And then I was thinking about it, and I was like, I wonder if that's, if it's white for, like, Xavier's death, or if it's white because he's, like, given up, like, you know, like, the waving the symbolic white flag. Like, I just wondered if Bendis had some sort of symbolism, because Bendis doesn't necessarily do, or doesn't always do something for no reason. So I wondered if that color choice there was a reason, and now that he's, you know, he's, I don't want to say he's evil again, but he's taken no shit. And his hand has no fucks, like, there's no fucks given, like, you know what I mean? So now it's a black suit.
Or maybe it was implying that he was about to be reborn in a sense.
Like now you got to dip your head in the water and do the crazy, like, magic water is going to make you all better.
Yeah, yeah, like he was, I guess, symbolically, he was about to be born again, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and that's something that I always wondered, and maybe one of these days I'll do Bendis's Ask Bendis, you know, on Tumblr and be like, Bendis, did the white suit mean anything? Or did you just do it? Like,
Or was it just like, yeah, throw him in a white suit, what the heck?
Yeah. You know, we haven't seen him wear white. It's before Labor Day, let's do it.
Yes.
So, I don't know, fuck, who knows. But I agree, that series got me. That was an Insta-ad before I even heard about it. And most of that was simply Cullen Bunn. That's another series that Jordi Belair colors. So that's wicked. She's everywhere, and everything is amazing. So that's also cool. I asked, just to change the topic, but I want to talk about Punisher for a minute.
Yeah, sure.
I tweeted Mitch Gerds and Nathan Edmondson because Punisher has been kind of rapid fire. I guess it's going to kind of go back to more of a monthly schedule after, like, the fourth one.
Yeah.
So that's nice, because even Joey was kind of like, dude, this is killing me. Like, I don't, the book is fucking awesome, but I don't want to pay this much every 2 weeks.
Yeah, Marvel... I've noticed Marvel does that with a lot of their books. What they'll do is it'll come out like every other week for like the first arc, and then they get
that trade out.
Yes, exactly. And then they get and then they'll go back to like a monthly, you know. And I think it's easier to get people on board that way for numerous reasons.
Look at Hickman's Avengers. It's already on like 29 or some shit. Like, feels like that just started.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but no, I mean, business sense, it makes sense. You know, fire out that arc real quick. Here's a trade, everybody. Buy this trade and then get back on the series. And
you're
good to go. So.
Yeah, so actually, I think the only books that are supposed to come out every other week that are is Superior and Avengers was, now it's not. Superior and
Avengers is back to a normal schedule.
Because that second Avengers book a month was sort of replaced by Avengers World.
Right.
So,
I'm okay with that because now I'm not getting World. So,
sure. So, All New X-Men I think is twice a month, and then
that one's still rapid fire.
Yeah, and Deadpool. Deadpool is actually Deadpool comes out constantly.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I never really thought about that. No wonder Tony Moore left so quick. There's no fucking way I'm doing these every 2 weeks.
Yeah, apparently, I don't know. I see people all the time walk into the shop, and the only thing they buy is Daredevil or Deadpool.
Oh, Derek and your drugs.
I know.
Oh man. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I you know, when you put it that way, I guess business sense, it makes sense. I mean, it still sucks, and I wish they didn't do it. But I mean, are they gonna do Amazing? Do you know? Is that gonna be still 2 weeks?
I would imagine so.
I mean, again, rapid fire, make you money, blah, blah, blah. But maybe if you give Humberto Ramos and fucking Slott a whole month to do a book, it won't suck.
Yeah, that's what, you know what? It might actually, you know, be better. You would think, at least.
Yeah, like, you know what? You don't necessarily have to make it like a 48-page issue. Make it like a 32-page issue and do it monthly.
I'm actually not a fan of Ramos. However, I have seen work of his that I'm like, hey, that's pretty decent.
Is it that cartoony Boom series that he does? I think it's with Paul Jenkins.
No, it seems like any Spider-Man issue where he has like a little bit more time, it feels like it looks a hell of a lot better.
Like the first one that he does when it's his arcs again.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's like, rush, rush, rush.
Yes, yeah, yeah, and then it just looks like garbage.
Yeah, and some of his stuff, yeah, it's just like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, and Spider-Man's body looks all stupid. And
yeah, his head, and then you got, like, the facial expressions where they almost have, like, horse teeth sometimes. And
they have horse teeth, and everybody's spitting for some reason.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, fuck, I don't know. I've seen some of his, and they're just so bad. It's like, come on, give the guy a little more time, or... You know, only have them do one issue every five issues or something. Like, shit.
Yeah, I really think, if it went to once a month, I think, you know, both Slott and Ramos could probably do a little better.
I could even see them doing a 36 or 32-page issue monthly and charging $4.99 for it. I could even see that.
Yeah, okay.
You know, because, I mean, it's $3.99 every 2 weeks, right?
Yes. So,
technically, you're paying less. You're getting almost as much story. Right, and the guys are still getting a little bit more time. So, but I mean, I'm not a genius, and I'm not rich, and don't get to make decisions at Marvel. So, what the fuck do I know, right? I wouldn't buy it, but I'm sure lots of people would, and I bet you the format would work okay, and
yeah,
you could be okay.
Yeah, by and large, I'm not a big fan of Slott, as we've discussed, but I'm actually curious to see how this all plays out at the end of Superior and to see what goes on with Amazing.
Are you really?
No, I am.
Oh, no, yes, you are. Okay, I got you. You fucking animal. Couple notables, because we're running out of time here. I just want to mention, for anybody that's been living under a rock, the mighty Scotty Young is doing his own Rocket Raccoon series, writing and drawing it. That's gonna be so amazing. I think I peed myself a little bit when I heard that. So fucking stoked for that.
Oh yeah.
Hey, does Silver Surfer come out this week? That's the end of the month, isn't it?
Yeah, no. I think the only thing new that comes out this week is the new Captain Marvel number one comes out, and Avengers Undercover.
Oh, so I don't care.
Yeah. I'm picking up the Captain Marvel, but I'm not getting the.
It lost me. She lost me in the last series around 20, and then I just couldn't do it. Just before Infinity, I dropped it.
Yeah, Avengers Undercover. I'm not even getting it. I think that's the one that's kind of replacing Avengers Arena, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's the same people.
Yeah, I didn't even read Avengers Arena. I mean, I heard it's decent, but I'm just whatever.
I don't know. I think. Oh, sad news. Avengers AI is ending. I don't know. Did you read that one?
No, I didn't. What? Oh man, that book's awesome.
Yeah, I know. Avengers AI was wicked. It's ending in 12. So you got two more issues and it's over.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't even know that. That fucking sucks.
Yeah, they're like 2 weeks after we interviewed the artist there, Andre, and he's like, oh yeah, we're going to be on this for the foreseeable future. And like, I personally don't believe he was lying. I mean, obviously you can't tell us this stuff. But I feel like he was blindsided, like, hey guys, by the way, 12 is your last issue.
Oh wow!
You know what I mean? Like that just fucking sucks. Like, they got stuff like what was the one that I saw and I just drove me nuts. I almost want to say it's the new X-Force just because the art really bothered me. I don't remember what it was. Now there was some title where I was like, how come that one still gets to go, but this one's not? Like I don't know. Savage Wolverine 2 is still going, so there's one that I would rather cancel that.
Yeah,
keep giving us Avengers AI.
Oh well, when I added Avengers, I was pulling when Avengers AI first came out. Like for the first few months, I was just pulling it off the shelf, and then I was just like, you know what? Oh, I'm tired of pulling this off the shelf. I'm just gonna add it to the pull. So added it to the pull list, and they actually at my shop, there's quite a few people that go there, and they told me that I was the only one that had that on their pull.
Oh, that's ridiculous, man. The art is good, and Sam Humphries, the writer, has just been doing a great job. And it took me a few issues to get into it, and then it was like once I was into it, I'm like, man, this is awesome.
Yeah. They told me it just does not sell, and I was extremely upset with that. And that's when I kind of went on like a Facebook and Twitter rant, like yelling at everybody for not getting Avengers AI.
Yeah, fuck.
I think it got a bad. I think it got like a bad rap because it was like I think people thought it was like a like an ongoing Avengers AI or not Avengers. I mean Age of Ultron kind of thing because it came out. It stemmed from
the Age of Ultron AI or whatever the hell that last issue was.
I think like because of its connections to Age of Ultron. It
kind of sort of stemmed from it. I mean.
Yeah, it's...
You know, there is that connection, but if people are expecting, like, the wacky adventures of Ultron, that's not what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think, like, they used it as an excuse to set up Pym where he is now, and then he just, and then the story just went from there. It had nothing to do with Age of Ultron, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Age of Ultron isn't even really something that I would... hope for continuation of in any sort of form. I like this what if Age of Ultron can suck my toe.
I read the what if AVX, and that was kind of fucking stupid. It wasn't.
Why
even
would you buy that?
I don't because of the name because I used to love those what if stories because they actually had a reason where but then I read the what if AVX and I was just like, this is basically just somebody rewriting.
Yeah, it's AVX. The exact same thing, but with like one, it's just the other way or whatever.
Yeah, well, it's just stupid. It's just like, oh, well, what if this guy was a little more mad or something? What if
Tony Stark didn't like shawarma?
Yeah, exactly. It was like just these stupid changes that didn't fucking matter. And it was basically, it felt like somebody was just like, oh, I'm going to rewrite AVX and make it even better. That's just what it sounded. There was no point to it at all.
Oh, man. Well, you know what, Derek? There is a point to this podcast, but unfortunately, the question of what if we had more time cannot be answered today. Okay. I'm sorry if that was a terrible, terrible stretch. You guys definitely need to pick up Daredevil. That was the main point. We kind of got off on a tangent, but the main point of this podcast was Daredevil. It's just so good, and the new one's starting, and you know, season numbering and jump on points and all that fun stuff. So, Derek, say goodnight.
Goodnight.
From me, I'm Tyler. Goodnight. Thanks for listening to the Comic Shoot. Make sure you catch everything, all your updates and reviews on all-comic.com, and we will see you next time.